Hello and welcome to another episode of the Two Bros Podcast. We are Two Bros. This is the Two Bros Podcast. Welcome. Apologies if I sound sleepy or tired, because I am. And the reason is in the title of the episode. I was up till 5 in the morning watching the David Beckham documentary on Netflix. And while I was watching it, I knew I had to talk about it because there's so many talking points. And as a Manchester United fan for some 20-odd years, I feel like I'm in a unique position to sort of comment on this. And a fan of football in general, not what they call football here in the US, football, what the rest of the world calls football. Yeah, that's been a recurring joke these days. I would say I felt sad for Beckham. Honestly, it was so sad to watch all of that happen. And I mean, it started from the abuse, the red card incident at the World Cup against Argentina, and then it just never got better for him. It just never stopped. The criticism never stopped. And I remember all of this vaguely. That's just what's being talked about Beckham in the papers. And I remember I was a teenager at that point. I didn't really care, but that's what you hear, and that's kind of what you register, and that's what Beckham became in my head. He's just like this over-the-top, showboating superstar who is occasionally good at football. That's just how I remember that. And to watch all of this closely was a bit of a revelation, because I'm kind of guilty of that as well. As football fans, we do kind of, not just as football fans, as human beings, we feel that it's a right to mouth off our opinions about others in public spaces or social media now. I've done it. Honestly, I've done it. I did it like a week ago or a couple of weeks ago when this wasn't directed at somebody. Basically, Manchester United had put out a new ad for some new sponsor that they had gotten. This is right after they had lost to some team, and they played really poorly. So I wrote a comment like, why don't you focus on improving football rather than, you know, earning money from sponsors, because that is the need of the hour. We need money, but not, I mean, come on, the timing was just off. And we do this. We all do this. We all criticize, and it's so easy to forget that these people are, in fact, human. Because you see them, I mean, think about David Beckham, young guy, good looking, married to a posh spice, to a spice girl, it's hard to understand what that feels like, and that kind of limelight, and you're like, and all you see is the glitz and the glamour, and you're like, oh, this guy's got everything. You know, you don't see the intricacy still. Stuff like this comes out. And it happens in day-to-day life as well. I mean, I remember this incident. It just come to me. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but it just came to me. I think I ran into a friend many, many years ago. I think this was like a couple of decades ago. And this is after we had left one place where we were all together in school. And I was talking about how difficult time was during that time. You know, there was so much scrutiny for no reason, and I just wanted to keep my head down and just go to class and study. But there was just too much attention around me for some reason because of certain incidents which had happened. And this girl looked at me and said, I'm not going to name her, but if she's hearing this, she knows who she is. This girl looked at me and said, what are you talking about? You were the popular guy. What are you complaining about? We were the ones who had a hard time. And I'm like, no, you don't know. You don't know what I went through. They're like, no, but you were so, everybody looked up to you. Everybody, like, you know, you were the popular guy. What are you complaining about? And I said, yeah, they don't get it. And that's kind of what I felt like watching the Beckham documentary, where you don't get it because all you see is the shiny lights and the flashing cameras and the flashy cars and the crazy outfits. And yeah, you don't get it. You just don't get it. And I feel like like I said, I've also done this, mouthed off abuse, but I've never directed it towards somebody, except maybe one time towards Paul Pogba on his Instagram post. That was the one time I did that, I think, because I was really upset. the abuse that he got. Imagine a whole country hating you. I can't even imagine what that's like. People mouthing off in the streets, spitting at him, stalking him, paparazzi everywhere, wanted to take pictures of his son, death threats to his family. And take this from any person who actually plays sport. Yes, you are going to make mistakes. No sports person ever thinks that they're invincible. The media might make them to be invincible. In their own head, it's a lot of doubt. It's a lot of constantly trying to prove to yourself that you are as good as they say. And I'm no professional, but I've been in that position where my team counted on me and I let them down. I played as a goalkeeper. I let them down. I made some mistakes. It sucks. It does not feel good. And you can have a whole season of good games and one moment of madness can define you, you know, and then you're like, oh, that's what he did. Think of Zidane. I dare you. Think of Zidane right now. And what do you think? You think of the headbutt incident, isn't it? That's it. That's how you remember him now. And that's just what it was with Beckham. It just stuck. All along, I knew it was the penalty incident. But what was it? I had no idea. And surprisingly to me, that incident involved Diego Simeone. Like, I never liked the guy, but now I don't like him anymore. I mean, even more. But what are you going to do? It's football. It's the World Cup. You will lie, cheat, dive, trick, do anything in your... Okay, now we have VAR. You can't get away with all this stuff. You know, I guess Diego Simeone did. And look at what Hand of God was. Look at what Maradona did. You will handle the ball in a game which is called football to win the cup for your team. You don't give a shit. It is what it is. And that's just the amount of abuse he got. And again, there's serious evidence about it. There were recordings. I don't know if you've seen it. If you've seen it, please, I would like to hear your thoughts as well. And if you've not seen it, do watch it. There's recordings of Beckham coming on to the pitch and there's a sea of boos going around. I can tell you, any real football fan, and I'm sure it was the majority of the stadium was mouthing off, but there were some people who were sympathetic. And these are the real football fans, the sports fans who kind of get it that, you know, these players are players. They're human. Mistakes will be made. And that kick, also his head was down. He swung a leg hoping he would hit something. And he caught him really high on his knee. And Simeone made most of it. Got a red card. Unfortunate. And everyone conveniently forget that England had a chance to win on penalties, but they didn't. So how can you... And yeah, Glenn Hoddle. Yeah, I see Glenn Hoddle now. As a pundit on Premier League, match days, I didn't know who this guy was, but now I know. And what a prick. And this is all coming from, seeing managers like Sir Alex Ferguson, where, yes, they are harsh to their players in private, but in public, he will defend his entire team. Whatever it takes, he will shield his players from all of this. But yeah, that means like the amount of hate he got was completely, it's just one of those things. It just picked up, you know, who else? I mean, I'm thinking of Justin Bieber. When the hate wave kind of picked on, you just like, that's just what you do with Justin Bieber. You hate on him and that just carries on. That's just everything. Something that should have died down for, in a matter of weeks or like a week or two, it went on for months. I can't imagine what that's like. And if you're playing sport, you need to be, your head needs to be in the right place. And I can speak from my experience. There were days when I was, it was cloudy skies in my head and I was at the tennis court. I played like crap. There's no doubt about it. I was way off. And then my coach could see this. And on days when I would, play poorly, he would take me to the side and say, you know, just like, calm down. It's all right. Whatever it is, you're here. Controlled aggression is the name of the game. Don't let it get to you. But that's the thing, man. I mean, these mediocre fans who have done nothing in life, who are drunk, mouthing off abuse and justifying it. I hated that part. First episode, I hated that you know, that's all that he went through. It was crazy. Then came the bit about Sir Alex. Now again, he's a polarizing figure. You don't really know where you stand with him. I mean, honestly, yes, he was incredibly successful, but was his brand of football attractive to watch? Was it good football? It wasn't pleasing on the eye, I'll say. And I'm saying this as a fan, as a lifelong fan, but he got results. He won everything multiple times, and you cannot question that. The way he handled the David Beckham incident, I don't know if that was the right call, if that was something you would do to a player who's been with the club since he was 15 years old. But after Beckham left, United dominated for the next decade. I remember that very clearly. That's funny because that's roughly around the time when I started watching, following Manchester United and Premier League football, when Beckham had just left, 2004, that's the time when I started watching. So honestly, I never got to see Beckham play as a United player. And that's, it's just one of those things, you know. Was it the right call by Sir Alex? Would we have not won with Beckham in the team? Was he too big? And was he starting to influence the dressing room? There were incidents where Beckham said that he started mouthing off and he started giving it back. And once you do that, once one player does that and he thinks that he can get away with it, he, you know, the other players can sort of get in on it. And then you lose the dressing room. And once you do, you lose the club, you lose your players. And that's just it. So I guess he had to do what he had to do to regain control of the club. Think of Paul Pogba when he came back to United. I feel like there's still a hangover from that era in these players. They feel entitled now. Look at how Jesse Lingard's career turned out. He was, let's say, he was a bit promising. He was all right. And he hung out with Paul Pogba. Marcus Rashford hung out with Paul Pogba a lot. And the three of they, I don't know what happened. It just gave it, and the dressing room has just never been the same. They feel, all these players feel entitled now, and I don't know why. And again, see, it's just me again mouthing off against these players. I don't know what's going on in the dressing room, but that's just my opinion, and that's the problem. We need to stop doing this. But I don't know how many people are going to hear my podcast. I'm barely on the map, but it's okay, I guess. Then again, with Beckham, it was a series of bad luck with managers, man. He went to Real Madrid to join the Galacticos and things didn't pan out. And it was, you would hear about these things. Okay, this is again, I'm talking about me. This, back then, there was only live coverage of the Premier League. You could not see Spanish League, at least where I was. Nobody was broadcasting it. You would see these teams and you'd see these players in the Champions League. Yes, Champions League was available. And you would see these teams certainly turn up and you have big name personalities like Ronaldo, Zidane, and Raul, and God knows who else, Seedorf, Kaká, I mean, Inzaghi, Adriano, Robinho, these big names just sort of turn up and you're like, oh my God, these guys are from a different planet. And then you look at your team and you're like, you see the midfield of, who was it, Michael Carrick and Darren Fletcher. And how are these guys going to keep up? But credit to Ji-Sung Park was in there for a bit, yeah. Much later. But credit where credit is due, even with these basic teams, Sir Alex ground out results and won trophies, spanning for several decades. But yeah, then series of bad managers at Real. Beckham was, he didn't know what to do. And then Fabio Capello comes in and he freezes him out to a point where he's training on his own for something like meeting with some agents of some other club. I mean, I can see how that's disrespectful to Capello, but was it a big deal? No. I liked how even these big name personalities kind of stood up for him, and they requested Fabio to let him play again. And he did. I remember watching some Champions League match. I don't remember against who it was. And I remember this very clearly. I think it was 4005, 2006, one of these years. I can't remember which year exactly, but I remember seeing David Beckham's name on the bench. And I remember this thinking, what? They got Beckham on the bench? Who plays Beckham on the bench? And yeah. From there, the move to LA was a big question mark for me. I don't know. He was still in his prime. Hollywood, his, I don't know how much influence Bosch Spice had on that. I don't know. I'm pretty sure they would have, some European club would have come for him. Some British club could have come for him. They don't have the, all that details in the documentary, but he picked LA and then he went there. And I remember thinking, again, this is what the media spun it as. It just is a big money move, and that's all Beckham cares about, money. But in the documentary, it said, you look at the relief on Victoria Beckham's face, that it was finally, the pressure was off. The paparazzi were off because there were more famous people around them and the kids had a good school and this and that, and it felt good. And I said, okay, maybe that makes sense. You do it for your family and you still play football, so why not? Yeah, but I remember the Landon Donovan episode. I mean, Landon Donovan, please. Okay, fine. I remember that episode. I remember that being in the papers where Beckham was being disrespectful. And that's the thing. You like to tear apart the famous person. You like it when they make mistakes. I don't know what that is about human nature. I don't know why that is. I don't know why we like to watch our heroes fall. And maybe it brings them down to earth in your own eyes, that you're just like me and there's nothing great about you. And then you're basically just bitter inside. I don't know. I don't know. This whole LA thing was a bit weird. I don't get it. What did he spend 5 years there? I don't know. I was happy to see Beckham back at AC Milan. I think he had, during that time, we had a Champions League match when Beckham played again at Old Trafford. It was a big deal. It was the return of David Beckham. And this time I got to see him play for AC Milan. And I was like, nobody crosses the ball like this guy. We had wingers. Who did we have? I don't recall. Was it Valencia? Was it Nani? Was it, who are wingers back then? I don't recall now, but I remember seeing the cross coming in. And you know, that's the thing. Nobody crosses. If you watch football now, that delivery, that looping ball in, it's just disappeared. People used to score goals from corners like all the time. It's just not a thing anymore. People can't even clear the first defender. It's flat, it's pacey, it's hard to direct. But this looping ball that Beckham used to generate is so easy. It's on the money, it's accurate, and it's easy to you know, you just need to get a toe in and you could. That's disappeared from the game of football. Like, another thing Beckham introduced was scoring direct free kicks for fun. I don't think, maybe Alan Shearer used to do it, maybe some people used to do it on occasion, but Beckham made it a habit. It was his thing. And from then it got on and became Ronaldo's thing, and then Messi's thing, and then whoever else's thing. I don't have the sequence here, but yeah, it was fantastic to watch. Even now, I mean, every now and then United would throw out these, you know, throwback videos of Beckham or something. Scrolling on Instagram, your Instagram feed, something turns up and then you see Beckham play, and then you're like, oh shit, he really was talented. Around all the noise, around all the attention and the flashing cameras, there was talent. Then PSG happened. PSG was again a blip. And this is the thing. He left United for Real Madrid. Wherever I was, they were not showing La Liga matches. I never saw him play, unless it was in Champions League. He went to LA. Nobody was showing MLS matches. Didn't get to see him play. He went to PSG. Nobody was showing French League back then. And then he retired. And I remember the day, I remember these visuals coming off. And I think by then we had Facebook, we had a bunch of things. I remember seeing Beckham in tears coming off as his final game was played. And I remember thinking, it's just too bad I never got to see him. I never got to follow his career. I never got to do that. Yeah. And then all you associate with the player is the noise that the media generates. And who's to say it's the media's fault? Because people like to read tabloids. People like to read scandals. They like to read about stuff like this. Why was Beckham made the scapegoat? How much was the media's influence? It could have just been one of those things where fans yell at you and then they forget about it in the next game. Then because you're a player of Manchester United. Or you're an English player. I don't know. But it was a media frenzy for months, you know. I really feel bad for the guy. Now he's living with his family. I guess he's happy. But you always see these cases, you know, with footballers who have a lot of potential and they make one bad move. It may not even be a bad move. It just doesn't work out for them. Like last week, a player like Eden Hazard retired. He was, what, 31, 32? What a terror he used to be at Chelsea. I mean, I remember there was a point where it was either Chelsea or Manchester United for him, and Chelsea got him, and I was very disappointed that we didn't do more to get Eden Hazard, and he destroyed people for a bit. He was really good, and then he got picked up by Real Madrid, which was an obvious move for any player. You build yourself, you end up playing for Real Madrid. Jude Bellingham is doing the exact same thing right now. I'm pretty sure Erling Haaland is going to end up there. I'm sure Mbappe is going to end up there at some point. You just have to play for that club. It's just what it is. It's just the aura of that club. As a footballer, that's your pinnacle of achievements. That's just what you do. Barring trophies and all of that, you play for Real Madrid. It just never worked out for Hazard. He was sitting on the bench for a while. Gareth Bale, for instance, he was never a permanent starter for Real Madrid. Let's just say that. Yeah. And then Gareth Bale, what a talent. There was a point where he was going to sign for United. I think he was in the news at least. He was going to sign for United while he's playing for Real, but that never happened. Now he's retired and he plays celebrity golf tournaments. Hazard has retired at 31. I don't get it. That's just what it is, I guess. Think of Michael Owen. He was such a legend at Liverpool. Went to Real, never picked up. Never established himself. So these moves, they sound great. And sometimes they do work out. I mean, look how long Ronaldo stayed at Real. 10 years, I think it was. And he won everything. Iker Casillas was a permanent fixture there. Sergio Ramos, Marcelo, Benzema. Come on. I guess it works out for some people and it just doesn't for the others. And I think Beckham had a series of bad luck coupled with bad decisions in retrospect, I would say. And that's just how his career is now going to be remembered as. Yeah. Anyway, I do feel Netflix left out a lot. I don't know why it had to be a three-part documentary. Could have been a whole season of 10 episodes. They could have gone into a lot of detail. But I guess this is not exactly for the football fan. It's for the general audience as well, because they kind of have to make money as well. I like seeing the guest interviews. I loved seeing Ole Gunnar Solskjaer again. I love the guy. Sir Alex Ferguson came up. That was... I didn't think he would do that. It's beneath him to come to a player's documentary and talk about him. I don't know. Simeone turned up. Michel Salgado, what a guy. Roberto Carlos had a good role. Brazilian Ronaldo. Figo. It was a good series of cameos there. I liked it. I liked the documentary, but there could have been more detail. But again, I'm speaking as a football fan. As an audience of Netflix, I guess it was all right. Anyway, get in touch with us. We have an Instagram page, the Two Bros Podcast. Look for it. It's the same logo you will see, and there's nobody else with that name. So it's easy to find. Tell me your comments. Tell me if you agreed with me. Tell me if you wanted to add something. And give us a like, give us a share. It really helps us out. And if you can, take 2 minutes out and give us a 5-star review or whatever you think we are worthy, and write a nice comment if you can. Alrighty, I will see you on the next one. See ya.